Who's happy to be back at school? Yeah. I know Brennan didn't say this, but we actually got back from the mission trip at 6:30 tonight. We pulled into the Grace Point parking lot. So if you see some tired eyes on some people beside you, just nudge them and they probably went on the mission trip. But I just want to say a few things. First of all, Brennan did not forget an announcement. There wasn't another one. So he did great. Give it up. And also, Brennan did a ton of work on the mission trip, helping out with things, coordinating things, making lists because I hate making them. So if you guys could give a big round of applause for him. I super appreciate him. And also the team that we went with, all 49 of us, all 48 of the students, they were all just great. So if you guys want it, like, seriously, like, no complaints, and everyone got along well, and it was hard work, and maybe it's just we were so tired to complain about things, I don't know, but it was a great trip. And so if you want to know about it, there will be people, I'm sure, all around the lobby afterwards. They would love to chat with you, and I have a few little stories intermittently throughout my message, so hopefully that'll spark something for conversation later. Also, hilarious note, over spring break, I went to Puerto Rico. I look pretty white still, right? I was like one of the only people that didn't get burned. I was also probably in the top 5th percentile of whiteness on the trip. So it's really nice not getting burned. But also, this is the hilarious point, is that my wife, who was in Brookings for the whole time, Kiana, she got a lot more tan than me because she just walked a lot and walked our dog. So she got like a really nice tan in Brookings, and I stayed super pale in Puerto Rico. So figure that out. It's a genetic win, so that's the main thing there. Tonight, even before we went on the trip, but knowing we were going to be on a trip, I wanted to talk about being sent and about how we need to be people that know we have a purpose and know that we are sent by God. And as I was thinking this over, there's just so many verses you can use. But one that really caught my eye was actually John the Baptist's last testimony. And I'm just going to read it out, and then we'll break it down over the next 15 minutes or so. And it's from John 3, 22-30. And if you guys didn't notice, my voice is a little bit disappeared. I, like, never lose my voice because I have a loud voice and I yell a lot. But even yelling at 50 people for an entire week has its limits even on my voice. So bear with me. If I have a voice crack, it will be hilarious anyway. So it says in John 3, 22-30, it says, "After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. John also was baptizing in Anon near Salem, because there was much water there, and the people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him.' John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." And as I thought over this passage, I obviously, for me, when we hear John the Baptist, I think back to like what we talked about at Christmas time, when John the Baptist is like this like miracle baby from these old people, and the dad can't talk for the whole gestation period, and then he like spurts out that his name's gonna be John. And he's like, got this, he has this like miraculous story, and he's this guy of purpose, and like he has all this stuff going for him. So of course he has this amazing purpose, and he's a sent person. And he's even jumping in the womb apparently when Jesus is in Mary's womb, and he's like excited for his cousin. He's like, I'm gonna pave the way for you. And then little baby Jesus didn't jump yet. So at least that's what we hear in the Bible. But As I think over John's life, and we know that he started paving the way, and he was baptizing people, and he was telling people about Jesus, and he baptized Jesus, it's really easy to see how John has this like huge overarching purpose for his life, how he has this sentness about him. And so it feels almost too easy for him to step into it, but he still had to do that. He still had to decide to step into the will of God. But when I look at that sometimes, I think like, oh, it's so easy for John to do God's work. Because like, he's like this awesome guy that apparently like, I think he just like didn't need any money because he wears these like dirtbag clothes. He eats honey out of honeycomb and like bugs, and he goes and preaches around and baptizes people and tells people about this guy who's coming named Jesus. And when I think about that, I get thinking like, oh, it was so easy for him to do God's work. But then you guys might be thinking, well, it's so easy for you to do God's work because you're a pastor. So you work at a church, you do all this stuff all the time, and that's true. And when I think about doing God's work sometimes, I get caught up in like, oh, stuff at church, or stuff when you're on a mission trip, or stuff when you go and serve at the food bank, that's God's work. And all the rest of the stuff is just stuff, and then God's work is really good. And I started thinking about this thing about God's work actually on our trip pretty early on in the week when Josh Fries was praying, and he was praying over the meal. He says wonderful prayers. He prayed over the meal, and he asked God to bless. He said he asked that he would bless us as we did his work. And that's what we were doing on that trip. But I had this like thought that not just on a trip and not just at a church or not just a food bank or somewhere where you're serving, but all of our work, all of our stuff, all of the things we do should be God's work. And John, he's fulfilling his purpose. In this passage, he's kind of saying, like, I have gone before, I've done what I've been called to do. And then he says these words. He says, he pretty much says something along the lines of, he's like, they're all like, oh, but this guy, Jesus, he's baptizing people now, and he's taking people away from you, and you were the popular guy, and it was so cool, and we really liked it. I think it's not John, it's these guys who follow him are like, we like the big crowd, and we like being your number two and three. And John's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I am the best man in this wedding. Unless we're watching some silly rom-com, the best man does not steal the bride, right? And this is what he's saying. He's like, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I'm the friend of Jesus. And he is going to find, and he is going to be with his bride. And that's the church. And that's us. I have been called, and my purpose has been stated to be the person that lays the path before. And I've done that. And so Jesus taking the reins on this is exactly the plan. I am not supposed to be the one marrying this person, the church, not a person. I'm supposed to be the best man. And as I thought on this, I was like, first of all, very impressed by the humility. But also, I started to understand that, like, while John, it seems like he's doing this crazy stuff because he's doing God's work by doing laying the path for Jesus. And yeah, that's really special. But we, each and every one of us, have been given a purpose to be sent by God. Each and every one of us have been called to do God's work, and sometimes it is going to be on a mission trip. Or maybe you're going to go into missions sometime, or maybe you're going to do some stuff, and it's going to be in that context. But it's not the only place that we're called to do God's work. We're called to fulfill the purpose that God has for our life. We're called to step into what He wants for us. And not everyone's John the Baptist. But everyone has been given a plan and a purpose by God. And so wherever we're going, we should be stepping into God's work wherever we are. He concludes his statement in this section by saying, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And I know John's talking about that in a physical sense, like he has to become popular and I have to become unpopular and I'm going to get beheaded. He probably doesn't know that yet, but that's unfortunate and true. But he knows he's fulfilled his purpose that God has designed for his life. And so even though it's a physical increase and decrease, I think there's a spiritual level that John's talking about that we really need to grasp onto too. It's that we have to decrease. We have to take a back seat so that God can shine through us. We need to let our priorities take a back seat to God's priorities in our lives. We need to decrease so that He can increase. There's this C.S. Lewis quote, and it goes something like this. It's that the more that we surrender to Jesus, the more that we become truly ourselves. Because that's what God has in store for us. If we relinquish to Him, if we take a back seat to Jesus and we let Him shine through our lives, there is no telling what can happen. I saw 48 students take a back seat to their priorities this week. And like some of it was a grind. Some people like literally like pilgrim level hoeing in a field for like 6 hours. That's not even joking. That's like what it was. In the video, Lauren said she was happy for tractors. Like, seriously, I was like, oh man, if we could have shipped a tractor here. But seriously, people took a back seat to their personal priorities and served this week. But that can't be just something that we leave in Puerto Rico or wherever you might go, or it can't be just something we have to leave at church. It's something that we have to take with us everywhere we go. And that's why it can't be God's work and our stuff. There has to be a conjoining of the two, that all things are God's things. And the more that we start to surrender them to Him, the more that He is going to do things through you that amaze you and that amaze people around you. And sometimes it's not going to be fun. In the same way hoeing a field all day or like picking up brush all day in this really like horrible vine section where you get a crazy rash and you step into mud and ants like crawl all up your leg and bite them. That all of that happened probably to most of the people on the trip. Michael Montoya actually said, we had this amazing bonfire on Thursday night where these incredible musicians came. They had a cello and a guitar, and there was five people singing. And we were sitting around the fire, and we started giving like testimonies to things that were going on in the trip. And Michael Montoya said something along the lines of that the monotony of hoeing all day or picking up sticks all day really has a correlation to life back home. And in Puerto Rico, it felt easy to do that kind of stuff because it's like, yeah, we're on a mission trip. Mission trip, you pick up things all the time. If my dad asked me to do three of these, I'd say, nah. But I'm on a trip, so 6 hours a day or 10 hours a day for 4 days in a row, totally fine. But that's the attitude we need to have so that we can allow God's purpose to work, so that we can give him the way and follow him. We need to be people that among the monotony of life seek to bring God glory and seek to be used by God day in and day out. Talking about the merger of those two things, the our stuff and God's work. This is like a kind of a brag moment for me, but not about me, so it's okay. But my wife, I don't know anyone who is better at merging the two than my wife is. At seeing God in so many different things and so many different ways and being so encouraging and praying through everything. I'm just like, oh, I wanna be like Kiana when I grow up in my faith. But the whole week, she had written me like these little notes all week. It was super sweet. She wrote me this one today. And it was just like, just exactly what I needed to hear. I'm just going to read, I'm not going to read the whole note. If you want to read it later, maybe I'll let you. It just says, I'll read the intro paragraph, actually. It says, today you come home. Hope you're all tired, but full of love and joy and excitement because of how the Lord is working. See you soon. And then there's a little heart. And then there's a quote, and it says this. It's from Philippians 1:6. And it says, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that God, who started this great work in you, would keep at it. And none of us are complete or perfect. But all of us are able to make everything part of God's work. And we can allow him to work on us so that the more that we allow him in and the more that we decrease, the more that he can increase through us, and that work can be made more and more complete. The verse goes on to say something along the lines that we'll be perfected in him, and we might not be exactly perfect until we die and go to heaven. But the perfection is talking about this wholeness and this holisticness, that the more that we take a back seat to Jesus, the more that he is going to find completion in our purpose. The more that he is going to work through us. And on our trip this past week at the bonfire, and I don't know about everyone else who went on the trip, but this was the most touching moment of the entire thing for me. When Brennan and I decided on Puerto Rico, it was with a lot of hopes and prayers, but we knew that we felt sent there. We had this sense of calling and going to Puerto Rico, and I think it really showed by how many students responded and came on the trip. And there was this momentum about our trip. And then we get to this farm and we do farm work all week and everyone's happy about it. And some people are like, isn't that just like South Dakota? And then like you saw, it's a lot prettier than to some extent, although South Dakota, also gorgeous. And I was quite happy to be back here. I even love the snow. But we do all this farm work all week. And then on Thursday night, as we're sitting around the campfire giving testimonies about things that people are going to take home or things that are encouragements or really cool things that people have noticed throughout the week, the lady who owns the farm, her name is Desenia. Probably said it wrong. My Spanish is horrible. But she starts saying that there's a chance that after the hurricane and after a bunch of stuff that went down, that if we didn't come, they probably would have lost their farm. And they were just praying and relying upon God. And then she said that we were her answer to prayer, and that their farm was gonna be fine, and that they were gonna do well, and like that was one of those moments that I think is so special that we need to make sure that when they happen in our lives that we hold on to, because there's gonna be times that when we give way to Jesus and we allow him to work through us and we step into the purpose that he has for us, we're going to hear evidence of how he has worked and we're going to see fruit of our labors. So my encouragement going into the rest, and I just cried a little bit through the rest of the message. 2.5 hours of sleep doesn't help. But my encouragement to you all is really this last push. Start assessing where you're at with Jesus and maybe some things that you need to give way to in your life, or maybe some areas where you just haven't explored allowing that be God's work. Because I think it's really easy to think a couple things are his work, but it's really hard to integrate it into everything in our lives. And I don't know if that means, I don't think that means brushing your teeth has to be God's work, although it's probably good for your health, so then you can do God's work longer. But what it does mean is that intentional interactions with people, when we see these moments to speak life into another believer when they need to be built up, or maybe it's when someone's not a believer and they really need Jesus and you get to minister to them. And maybe you're not converting them, maybe you're not bringing them into Christianity, but you're showing them the love of Jesus. Maybe it's getting really excited with someone who did really well on something after they put a lot of effort into it. I don't know what the things are going to be, but I know that all of those things are God's work. And there's this thing in Greek, there's these two words for time. It's chronos and kairos. And chronos is like our normal time. It's like, oh, Oasis is typically 60 minutes long. And like, it's linear time, 24-hour day. But then kairos is this different type of time that's this intentional interaction and this moment where we get to meet with God, where we interact with him. And I think he gives us a lot of those moments every single day, both opportunities in prayer with just him, but also opportunities with other people. And we need to make sure that we're not missing out on those kairos moments. We need to make sure that we are seeing all of our life as potential for God's work and God's purpose in our lives. And the more that we do that, the more we are truly going to be ourselves. We're going to go into a time of prayer. And if anyone, for those of you who haven't been here before, or if you just are, would like prayer today, if you'd like to be prayed for throughout the whole worship set, and during the prayer time, there will be people at the back. They would love to pray with you, to encourage you. If you want prayer for anything, please go back. But yeah, be encouraged that God is at work, that he's working on you, and that what you are doing has great kingdom potential. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Son that came to earth and that died and rose again so that we might live life to the full here and now. God, thank you that you sent your Son so that we might make it to heaven, God, so that we might be perfected. God, thank you for your amazing love and grace and joy and peace. And God, I pray that we would relinquish to you. That God, among the daily grind, we would be excited to pick up sticks. God, I pray that we would see all work as your work. Help us to embrace your love. And God, I pray that your Spirit would flow mightily through this congregation. God, you are good, and we love you. And we pray all this.